Praise God. We're going to look at the Word of God this morning. And a lot of people have been asking about how we're doing and different things. We're doing good. A lot of people sometimes, you know, look at it and say, well, you know, you know the danger sometimes when you hear bad news? You give up everything you believe. And that's a very, very, very dangerous. And it's a trick of the devil to try to, because you can be all excited and say, I believe in God for healing, I believe in God for healing. And all of a sudden you get a bad report and say, well, I guess it's all over. And it seems like the bottom drops out of everything. To me, honestly, this is a temporary thing. This is not something that the devil's going to win. I believe that. And we're seeing God move, and things are happening. I can feel strength coming back to my body and things like that. So God is doing something. And we don't know how long it's going to take for it to be totally manifested, but I believe that healing has already been paid for 2,000 years ago, even before we even asked for it. Has already been accomplished. Jesus already paid that price. And we believe God for healing. Praise God. Anyway, let's look into the Word of God this morning. We're going to look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Dave said I could be 10 or 15 minutes or something. And we'll see how it goes anyway. I remember what Brother Albert said last week. It's dangerous to stand between the congregation and food. So I just try my best. But as the Lord leads, let's look at the Word of God. Mark chapter 4. Before we read the scripture there, I just want to say this. This passage is the story of the sower of the seed. And this passage is in the Synoptic Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John was a totally different gospel. John went after things topical. John spoke basically about the seven big miracles of Jesus that the others never spent much time on or never mentioned at all. And the others mentioned different things about Jesus and his ministry, different aspects of his ministry. And but the synoptics basically tell the same stories, the first three books of the Bible, or New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They tell the same stories. And Matthew presents Jesus as the Messiah because he's talking to the Jewish people. He presents Jesus as the Messiah and the soon-coming King of Israel. And he gives the genealogy of Jesus from Abraham back to Jesus, or up to Jesus, I should say. And then Mark doesn't even mention the genealogy of Jesus. Mark just begins right in talking about the ministry of Jesus. And Mark tells gives us a picture of Jesus as a servant, as somebody who's sacrificing himself, always on the move, always doing something for us. And that's the way Mark described Jesus. Luke described Jesus as the Son of Man. Many times you read through there, the Son of Man came for this, the Son of Man, the Son of Man. Somebody said that was Jesus' most favorite title for himself, as the Son of Man. And so Luke mentions Jesus as the Son of Man. And Luke begins talking about Jesus, and he takes it from Jesus and goes right back through David and back to Abraham, right back to Adam, and even back to God. He said Adam, which was the son of God. So he does his genealogy that way. So they're all looking at Jesus from different perspectives and talking about different things. And I've said this dozens of times to you people here. You can open up this Bible and look at any page in there, you're going to see Jesus somewhere. This is the written word. Jesus is the living word. This has got to show up, Jesus. And every time we get up to preach, we got to glorify Jesus. And if we don't glorify him, we're wasting our time. We're just blabbing our mouths and everything else. It's got to be Jesus. Everything is him. And but anyway, there are times, and talk about John's, we talk about the synoptics there, John's gospel. John goes back, I mean, like I said, Matthew went back to Abraham, Luke went back to Adam. But John goes back. Remember when we were doing all the things here? We used to have this as the beginning of creation, Adam and all these different things. And we used to use this for Abraham. Thank you. I know people are praying for us to use this for the point of contact. So I thank you for doing that. God bless you. But remember, we always said, you know, this is the beginning. But when John starts his gospel, he said, in the beginning. And John goes back even farther than this. I mean, if you could knock that wall out and shoot an arrow out in space somewhere and let it go on forever. That's what John is talking about. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And he said, without him, nothing was ever made. Everything was made by him and through him and for him. And so everything about Jesus is in the Word of God. But the reason I mentioned the synoptics, these three synoptics all tell this same parable that Jesus told. They all mention the same story, that Jesus told this story about the word of God, the seed being planted. And it's so very easy, as I said, it's so easy sometimes for the enemy to come in and steal that which has been sown into our hearts. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is holding on to the word of God, not allowing it to slip, not allowing ourselves to get discouraged, not allowing ourselves to throw in the towel and say, well, it's all over, we just give up and that's all there is to it. No, God is still on the throne. He's still our healer. He's, you know, provided everything for us. And we just have to stand ground. When the enemy attacks us, we just have to stand ground, not give in, not back up an inch, but stay firm and believe God and believe his promises. And this is what I want to encourage you to do this morning. So let's look at Mark chapter 4. You'll find this story in Matthew chapter 13, I believe it is, and Luke chapter 8 as well. But here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is telling a story. And this is how Mark begins it, in beginning of verse 1. He said, "Again, when he began to teach by the sea, a great multitude had gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat on it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things in parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it, and some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, if you go down to verse 13, when he explains the meaning of it, he said, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?'" In other words, this is almost like when Jesus was speaking parables, sometimes it was almost like code that he would speak. He said, "So that those that are ready to receive, they would hear it. But there's others that would not receive it, and they would not understand what's going on." And he said, this fulfills what Isaiah talked about. They got ears to hear, but they don't hear. They got eyes to see, but they don't see. And so this is what he's talking about here. So he said, verse 14, he said, "The sower sows the word. And those are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear," and get this, "Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these likewise are the ones sown in stony ground. And when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, desire of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, as I said, the enemy comes. You could be believing God for anything. You could be believing God for healing, for finances, or, you know, God to minister in your family or to save a loved one. God has provided all these things already for us. And he's given us promises. The Bible calls them precious promises in his word that we can stand on and believe. And when we're going in prayer, this is something we need to understand. When we're going in prayer to God for anything, if it's for healing or whatever sort, we need to understand that we need a promise of God to stand on. It's no good to just go and just say, "Lord, I'd like for you to do this. Lord, I'd like for you to do that." Find something in the word of God that gives you a foundation for something to believe. And when you get that, hang on to it. And, sometimes you'll get a word from God that you know that you know that you know is from God. And when you get a word like that, hang on to that and claim that and stay with it and stay with it and stay with it until you see the manifestation come forth. And that's what I'm doing in my life as well, obviously. And, all this blew up here last month. It's only been about 6 weeks, I guess. Seems like 6 years to me now. But it's only been about 6 weeks. And when all this blew up and the doctor came in and he said, this cancer and whatever the case might be. Like I told you before, if they told me I had to get a tooth out, it would have frightened me more. Like, because there was just a peace that God dropped in my heart at that time. And instantly, I could still hear what he's saying, but I knew what God was saying too at the same time. It was just simultaneously. Both of it just dropped, like, you know. And God said, you know the scriptures. You know what you believe. Now stand on it. He said, you keep your eyes upon my love and my grace. These two words stuck with me. And every time I see a song with love or grace mentioned in it, now I know what God is saying. You keep your eyes upon my love and my grace. And then he said, I'll raise up other people to pray for you. And God has been doing it. I've been getting phone calls from people that I never even knew. You know, so, brother, somewhere along the line, your name came across. We just want you to let you know that we're praying for you and God has laid you on our hearts. And we just can't seem to let go of it. And I know that's God. That's God, you know. And because I was saying to God just before all this blew and I was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And I said, God, I don't have the strength to pray anymore. I can't even, you knew the scriptures, you knew what you believed and everything, but you just have the energy to pray. And so this, you know, when God said that, it sort of just settled it in my heart. And I told you before, I stayed in the hospital that first night, and Pat came in the next day, and she brought in my Bible for me. And I just opened up the Bible, and I was just reading, not looking for anything in particular, just finding, you know, just reading. And when I realized what I was reading the passage here where the four men brought their friend. Remember, he tore up the roof and laid them down before Jesus. And as soon as I read that, God said, now that's a confirmation. Other people are going to carry you. You just keep your eyes upon Jesus. And that's what we have to do in all this storm. Whenever a storm comes upon us, there's no point in getting all disoriented and carried away with craziness and get frustrated and all these different things. Just keep your focus. And this is what we have to do when a storm comes against us physically or any other way. Keep our focus. Don't allow the devil to take the word from your heart. Remember what we just read? Satan comes immediately. And he'll come immediately. Jesus talked about like the birds. The wayside, I always thought the wayside was out in a ditch somewhere. But the wayside, they say, is the pathway that you're walking on. And that becomes hard and crust and everything else. And when the seeds fell on it, obviously it wasn't going to grow. And the birds came, and he said, ate that immediately. And he said, Jesus said, that's how Satan works. As soon as the word, before it gets a chance to penetrate, Satan comes immediately to steal away from you. I guarantee you, you can get a word from God sometime, a revelation from God. I could be speaking or somebody else could be speaking. And, God give you a revelation. All of a sudden you grab at something and you say, I'm going to trust God in that. And I can guarantee you, sometimes before you get out through the doorway, the devil's going to try to take it from you. If not, you try through it that week. You put persecution in your life, like Jesus talked about. You put other things in your life. Jesus said the deceitfulness of riches, other things, cloud in, the cares of this world cloud in, and eventually you forget what you heard. And this is something we have to be very careful about and very careful to guard ourselves against, because Satan comes immediately. And so we need to keep that in mind, that's his purpose. To destroy us, and that's the one way that he can destroy us, because he knows if we can get the word down our hearts, if we can get God's word down there and believe it and stand on it, the devil knows he doesn't have a chance. But the minute that we start losing grip on God's word, and we let that go, and we start, you see, you can believe in healing all your life, and or for anything else when it comes to that, but I'm just talking about healing here now today. But if you can believe for healing all your life, and the enemy would throw something in your, in your life to throw in a monkey wrench, so to speak. And all of a sudden, all those healing scriptures go out the window and they're gone. No, that's when you need to grab a hold of them more than ever before. You know, the word of God tells us he sent his word to heal. Now you can look at it a dozen different ways. Jesus spoke the word and somebody 21 miles on the road was healed. You know, we prayed for people here and people over in Bulgaria got healed. You know, and so he sent his word to heal. We can say it that way. Also, we can say God sent his word, Jesus, to come and heal us. Whichever way you look at it, it's all Jesus anyway. He's the one that provided for our salvation. He's the one that provided for our healing. And healing and salvation is all wrapped up in the same package. Remember we talked about there a while ago in Psalm 103? Don't forget the benefits. I mean, God has given us so many benefits in this package. You know, sometimes we say, well, what kind of insurance, life insurance do you have? What kind of benefits do you get at work? You know? And thank God for situations like that. But listen, when you accept salvation, you accept everything. You accept everything. Psalm 103 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He said, don't forget his benefits. He said, he forgives all your iniquities. We got no problem with that whatsoever. But he also says he heals all your diseases. We need to not have any problem with that either. We need to grab onto that just as strong as we grab onto the salvation part of it. We need to understand because it's all wrapped up in salvation. It's all part of salvation. We look at salvation basically as a spiritual part of it, and I understand that. But we need to understand that salvation is a lot more than just, having our sins forgiven. There's a whole lot more, too, that God wants us to live a life. Jesus himself said, the thief comes for no other reason, he said, but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. And that's here in this life. God wants us to have an abundant life here in this life. And you can't have an abundant life going around sick all the time and broke all the time and discouraged all the time. That's not an abundance. And that's not the way God planned for us. God wants us to have a good life. And that's what Jesus came to give us. And we hang on to these things. We hang on to that and believe God for healing and deliverance and whatever the case might be, because it's already there. It's already been paid for. It's already purchased. We just have to bring it from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. And sometimes it takes a process. It takes a time period. We don't understand that. We don't understand it because, we want everything now. But we need to understand that there is a time period sometimes between by the time we bring the manifestation into the natural realm. And that's where we got to stay firm. And that's where we got to stand on the word of God. But Satan will come immediately and try to take that from you. And I'll give you a couple of illustrations, a couple from the Old Testament, a couple from the New Testament. I'll finish up. Back in the Old Testament, remember back in the Garden of Eden, there in Genesis chapter 3? God said to Adam and Eve, he said that of all the trees, you talk about God's love and his grace and extravagance and everything else. God said, you could have any tree you want. I mean, there's probably billions out there. Of all the trees that are out there, he said, you can have whatever you want, except mine. You see, it's a picture of the tithe as well. He said, except mine. He said, you can't touch mine. He said, the day you eat of that, he said, you'll die. And where did Satan come from? Immediately. Satan never came and tempted about all the other trees and everything else and talked about how good God was. Satan came and said, listen, what did God say about that tree? You can't touch it? You. What did he say about that? God knows you're going to become like him. And immediately Satan will come. Whenever you get a revelation from God, whenever you get a word from God, Satan is going to come and try to steal that. And you know the story, and this is why we're in the mist we're in today, because Adam fell for it. He let go of God's word and believed the devil's lie instead. And because of that, we end up in situations like we're in today, because of what Adam did. He loosed the doors, so to speak, of evil. He just opened up the floodgates and it came in, Another illustration from the Old Testament is when at Mount Sinai, and God said to him in Exodus chapter 19, I think it was, Moses went up to the mountain, God gave him the command, Moses came down and told the children of Israel, they said, whatever God said, we'll do. The very first thing God said to him, you shall have no other gods before me. The second thing he said to him is make no graven image. Satan comes immediately, within a month. What did he do? They make a golden calf. Another god, another, an image. Satan came immediately to steal the word of God. So we need to be sure that every time you get a revelation from God, every time you get a word from God, the devil is going to come immediately some way to try to steal that from you. You come over into the New Testament. My brother mentioned this last week. Jesus being baptized. Luke tells us the Holy Spirit came down upon him in a bodily shape like a dove. Came down upon Jesus. A voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. In him I'm well pleased. And the Bible tells us right after that, Jesus went into the wilderness and Satan came and says, if you are the Son of God, you see, he attacks the very word that God gives you. And he'll always twist it because God said to him, he said, he's my beloved Son. The devil didn't want to remind Jesus that he was beloved. He said, if you are the Son of God, worship me and do this, do that. Throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. He said, I give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll only worship me. So he comes immediately to take the exact word that God gives you. So if you've got a word about healing, Satan is going to challenge you in that area. If you got a word about finances, if you're believing God for a financial breakthrough, and all of a sudden you read that God's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, you know, he's not bound by the world's economy or anything else. You get a word from God in that, and immediately Satan is going to come and challenge you, and you're going to get a phone bill that you never thought you ever could pay. Or you're going to get a hydro bill that's crazy price or something. He's going to challenge everything you do, and you throw in the talent and say, man, this don't work. See, that's exactly where the devil wants us to get. That's exactly where he wants us to get now when it comes to healing and anything else. Just throw in the towel and say, listen, it's all over. No, it's not all over. It's just beginning. This is a battle, and we've already won. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. Anyway, I can go on with a different. It would take too long to get into it. The last one I want to last illustration. Remember Peter. Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Well, just before that, he said, who do men say that I am? They said, well, some says you're John the Baptist coming back from the dead. Some says you're Elijah or one of the other prophets or whatever. And he said, but who do you say that I am? Talking to the 12 disciples. Peter stood up and he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus turned to Peter. He said, Peter, blessed are you. He said, because you didn't come up with that on your own. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. He said, my Father gave you that. That was in verse 16, 17, around there. Down by verse 23, Jesus is telling him that he had to go and be crucified, and Peter took him in the Bible and started to rebuke Jesus. I mean, this is the fellow that God just gave a big revelation to. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You know, Jesus knew where it was coming from. It was Satan coming immediately to try to steal that word. So anytime you've got a word from God, anytime you've got something that you're standing on, expect a challenge, but don't be frightened by the challenge. That's what the devil does. He is trying to frighten us by it, and he brings something and say, well, I'm not going to believe God for healing because look what happened to the pastor. Don't even think that way. Don't even think that way. He might just challenge you with a toothache. You know what I'm saying? Or a headache some morning. I say, well, I can't go to church this morning. I got a headache. Right? He'll do anything to keep you away from hearing the word of God and getting it down in your heart. So don't allow him to do that. Don't allow him to come in and run rampage through your life and everything else. Stand on God's word. God's word is forever settled. You know, we sing a chorus here sometimes. I'd rather live by faith than try to make it on feelings. I'd rather trust in God than my own feelings. My feelings will rearrange, but God's word will never change. I'd rather live by faith than my own feelings. So get God's word down in your heart. Stand on it. Don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say it's all over. No, it's not all over. The battle is just beginning probably. But listen, God has got something good out of all this. What the devil means for bad, God means for good. And I don't believe for a minute. Don't get mad at me. I know some of you might think this way, but you're wrong anyway. You're entitled to your wrong opinion. God never brought this on me. Okay? God is not trying to teach me something. He's not trying to punish me for something. Jesus took all my sin. I've got no sin. I'm not talking about my own self. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here now. But we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Not by bulls and goats or some other sacrifice or anything else. Listen, we've been paid for one sacrifice for sin forever. And the Bible says he has perfected us forever. So God is not trying to teach me something. He's not trying to punish me for something. He's not. That's just lies from the devil to try to get our eyes off the real fact that he's the one that's causing the problem. Let's stand against the devil. Let's not allow the devil to get the upper hand in this and say, devil, you can fight all you want, but we already know the outcome. God has already given us the victory. Jesus has already paid the price. And as far as God is concerned, this is all wrapped up. It's been wrapped up for the last 2,000 years. And so we just believe God for that. So you have to be careful not to allow Satan to steal the word. Just a couple of thoughts I got at the end of it here. And he will steal it. He'll send persecutions. Tribulations, the Bible says, Jesus said, the cares of this world, anything. Just the devil doesn't care what it is as long as you can get your mind off the word of God. If he can steal the word from you, it could be anything. You know, you could be going out for a drive on a Sunday afternoon. You know, totally innocent, nothing wrong with that. But if he can do that just to keep you away from God's word, he'll You know, just use something simple like it. Now, don't misunderstand. It's not wrong to go for a drive. If you want to go for a drive today, go for a nap, whatever you want to do, go and do it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the devil will use anything to try to steal God's word from us. So let's not allow him to do that. And the truths that you already know, he'll take them, he'll twist them, and try to get you to forget them. And you ever sometimes you're believing God for something, you say, you know, one time we used to believe God to do this, but now we don't believe God to do that anymore. That's dangerous. Let's believe God for what his word says. Now, I'm not talking about old frivolous stuff and foolishness and things like this. I'm talking about the word of God. Get God's word down in your heart. And don't allow the devil to steal. Allow it to take root. Jesus said the reason all these things happen, he said, because they never took root. The roots never got down. But if you get the word, you get somebody that gets the word of God, he talks about the good soil that allows the word of God to get in and meditates about it and grows by it and allows it to change their lives and allow it to give them some focus in life. All of a sudden, you're going to see that person start to grow and start to rise to the top, and God's going to bless them because the word of God is taking root. So let's not allow the devil to get us discouraged. The Bible talks about over 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. I was going to read it, but I won't. I just quote it right now. Paul was talking to the Thessalonians, and he was talking about how the word of God came to them. And he said, we remember, he said, how it came to you. He said, with much affliction. Every time the word of God comes, the devil is going to come with much affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but thank God, God delivers them out of them all. I was reading a scripture the week, and they were talking about just different scriptures, and going through the book of Nehemiah, just reading some scriptures, Nehemiah and different things. And Nehemiah was just reiterating some of the things that the children of Israel went through. And he said Edom and Moab, or Moab and Ammon, he said, wasn't allowed to come in and worship the Lord. He said, because they wouldn't allow the children of Israel to pass through their land when they're coming out of the land of Egypt. They wouldn't allow it. And he said, instead, they hired Balaam. Now, if you understand the story, I don't get time to get into all of it now. He said, they hired Balaam, it was supposed to be a prophet of God, he said, to curse the children of Israel. But there's one line in one of the verses there. He said, but our God turned a curse into a blessing. And that's what God is doing. Everything that the devil throws at us as a curse, God turns it into a blessing. Our God turned a curse into a blessing. I was reading, as mentioned, Brother Dave, I think the week, I was reading the scripture last week, I think it was now. And reading through the book of Romans, just meditating on different scriptures and talking about the grace of God and the love of God and all these different things. And sometimes you get so wrapped up in that and you're just weeping all the time as you read it because it's so precious. When you realize what Jesus came to do for us, you know. And as I was reading down through it, I got down to the end of the chapter, in chapter 16. End of the book, and verse 20. And man, there's a verse, like I read it dozens of times, probably hundreds of times over the years, but man, when I read it the other day, something grabbed me and satisfied me so strong inside. Romans 16 and 20. And he said, the God of peace, and that's the peace that God gave me. I keep saying it over and over. God, ever since that day, you gave me that peace. So when it said the God of peace, it just grabbed my attention. I didn't even understand or think about what was coming in the rest of the verse. He said, but the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And man, when I read that, it was like a peace that went over me. There was a satisfaction. There's a time period to it, but it's shortly. The God of peace will crush Satan under my feet. Not crush me under Satan's feet. Will crush Satan under my feet shortly. And I believe God for that. See, this is what I'm saying. You get verses like that, you hang on to them. Don't allow the devil to steal that from you. A storm will come, something else will come up. Don't allow the devil to take that from you. You stand on that because the devil knows if you can stand on it long enough, you will defeat him. And we need to understand that. So get God's word in, allow it to take root, and don't let go of what you already believe. Don't allow circumstances or anything else to throw us off. And I think my 15 minutes is up. So I finished it there. But anyway, thank God for his word. You know, there's a couple of verses that I've been standing on ever since this started. The Bible tells us, in quietness and confidence will be your strength. In quietness and confidence. Some days you see me walking slow. It's not because I'm so much weak. This, whatever they give you, is all poison anyway, I guess. But it just makes your body feel like you're sunburned all over. And it feels like every time your pants touch your legs or anything. So I just got to walk, try to, you know. So if you see me just walking like this, a lot of it is that. But the thing is, in quietness and confidence, that's where our strength is at. And he said, he will keep you in perfect peace if your eyes are stayed upon him, if your mind is stayed upon him. So we keep our mind upon Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. I've told him, I'm going to say millions of times, but there's a verse that sticks with me over and over and over. Moses endured, even though he couldn't see what was going on. He endured, he said, by seeing him who was invisible. Even though it's invisible to our eyes, we know what the Word of God says. We put our trust in Jesus, and we believe for the answer. We believe for what his Word says. We don't quit. We don't give in. We don't allow the devil to get the upper hand. We say, devil, thus far, no more. And we stand on the Word of God.